And everybody said,
Amen.
Father, we do thank you. And we bless you because you count us worthy to hear from your heart the revelation that takes us from earth to heaven. Thank you for what we couldn't have known except by the revelation of your Spirit, and except by those people you use in writing the word for us of the present day. Bless us today and use us as channels of blessing for all the people that we'll be speaking to. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We're continuing our study with the book in the book of Exodus. And today we come to Exodus chapter 14 from verse 1 to verse 31. We'll read verses 1 and 2 and then we go to the end. Exodus chapter 14 verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Look at verse 31. In verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. As we continue in our study in the book of Exodus, we now come to the chapter that talks about their passing through the Red Sea. You know, they had already had the Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so they were in the land of Egypt. It was in that land of Egypt that God gave them the way, the plan for salvation, their salvation and redemption. And the Lord told them to slay the lamb and to get the blood and put the blood of the lamb on the lintels of their houses and on the side posts. Note, he didn't tell them to put it on the door, at the doorstep. Why? Because they'll be going through that door and they shouldn't step or trample on the blood of the lamb, but on the side posts and on the lintels. The same thing today. The blood of Jesus is applied by faith in our heart, and it becomes the propitiation. It becomes the Passover. The sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, gives us that salvation. And as we walk through life, we still have that blood protecting us and preserving us. But we never trample on the blood of the lamb. We never trample upon the blood of Jesus Christ, because we are told of what sorrow punishment. Suppose he shall he be thought worthy who pushes down and tramples on the Lord, and he counts the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. He calls that or thinks of that as an unholy thing. And so all through our lives, we're remembering that Jesus died for us, and that we are bought and purchased by the spilling and the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. And our faith in that blood gives us redemption. gives us the Passover, that when the Lord sees that blood, he passes over us. And we pass over from death on to life. We pass over from death unto life, and we pass over from judgment unto justification. Now, after that Passover, which is the beginning, we now go through quite a lot before we get to the land of promise. And we're talking today on passing through the Red Sea before we get to the path that leads us to the promised land. The topic tonight is passing through after the Passover. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the foolhardiness of Pharaoh and his cohorts. Foolhardiness, the hardened heart of a fool. The fool who does not think about the power of God. The foolhardy who does not think about the end. And whatever he wants to do today, he does. Foolhardy, hardened, stubborn. The foolhardiness of Pharaoh and his cohorts. Number two is the fearfulness of people in their complaint. We might say in their cogitations. Cogitation means the thought of their heart. Thinking without thinking of God. Thinking without thinking of his power. Thinking of the present situation without thinking of the past deliverances. And because of that thinking, they have complaints, the fearfulness of the people in their complaints. Number three is the faithfulness of all pilgrims while crossing. The Red Sea divided, and they had never seen that before. They saw the wall of water on one side and the wall of water on the other side, and they were passing through the dry land. They were crossing, and yet they remained in faith, and they remained faithful unto the Lord. They were not thinking, what if something happens accidentally? And the wall of water comes back before we pass through. They never thought like that, because they calculated and counted on the faithfulness of God, and they walked through because of their faith in God. The faithfulness of all pilgrims while crossing. Look at number one. Number one is the foolhardiness of Pharaoh and his cohorts. The foolhardiness of Pharaoh and his company. The foolhardiness of Pharaoh and his chariot men. Exodus chapter 14. We're reading from verse 3 now. In verse 3 it says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. That's what he thought in his heart. Is the thought in man's heart that makes him to do whatever is foolish, whatever is stupid, whatever is deadly and damning? It is the thought of the heart. And Pharaoh thought in his heart, the people are entangled, and because of that entanglement, they will not be able to go through. They are by the Red Sea. How are they going to pass through? And so he thought, in his foolhardiness, in his hardness of heart, in his stubbornness, and in his foolishness, he'll pursue after them. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart. That means he wants to be hardened. I will let him. I'll not hinder him. He plans to rise up and go against the Israelites. I will not stop him. I'll permit him. I'll allow him. He wants to destroy himself. Let him, and don't let heaven hinder him in any way, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? They wanted slaves. That's what made them foolhardy. They wanted to retain the children of Israel as slaves in bondage, to serve them and to work for them without remuneration. And they wanted them as slaves in servitude to continue like that. That's why they then decided they were going to pursue after them and bring them back. In verse 6, and he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And the Lord did not stop him at that point. And there are people, when they are stubbornly doing evil, they say, well, if this is evil, the Lord would have stopped me. But he didn't stop me. And he could have made me sick. I wasn't sick. He could have weakened me. I wasn't weakened. He could have broken my backbone, that I will not be able to stand and do what I do. Yet he has not done that. They take the love of God for granted, because the Lord has not stopped them. They think everything is all right. And in verse 7 says, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. Verse 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. If anything could have stopped in his mind, if anything could have stopped in his heart, all those other miracles, turning their water into blood, should have stopped in them. If anything could have stopped in him, the rod of Aaron turning to a serpent and turning back into a rod, and swallowing up all the serpents and the power of the magicians of Egypt, that should have stopped in this earth. If anything could have stopped in them, frogs coming out of the rivers and filling everywhere, that should have stopped in them. If anything could have stopped in them, the miracle of those flies getting everywhere, swarms of flies, could have stopped in them. If anything could have stopped in them, the moraine, the hail, the heavy stones falling from the sky and destroying all their cattle in the field, could have stopped in him. If anything could have stopped in them, the locusts that raged over the land and ate up all their plants, that could have stopped in them. And if that did not stopped in them, God said, you are hard, you are hardened, you want to pursue your way of hardened heart, then you can go on. And he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. In verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all and all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pahahiroth before Baal Zebub. And that shows the foolhardiness of Pharaoh and his chariot men and his company and his cohorts. Look at three things as we break that down. Number one is the perverseness and the perdition of hardened hearts. Number two is the passion and pursuit of hell-bent hunters. They were actually hunting for the children of Israel. Like animals hunt, that hunters hunt animals. Like animals are hunted, so Pharaoh and his cohorts and those Egyptian chariots of that day, of that time, they were hunting the children of Israel. Number three is the purpose and partnership of hateful helpers. All the other Egyptians and the servants of Pharaoh that said, go ahead, Pharaoh, we're by your side, we're helping you, because they had the same hatred for the children of Israel, or rather, they had hatred for the escape of the children of Israel, like Pharaoh had. And so they came in partnership, purposefully, to go after the children of Israel, to help Pharaoh in bringing them back to slavery and to bondage. Number one, the perverseness and perdition of hardened hearts. In Exodus, which we have read, we find that he said, I will pursue. Why? His heart was perverted, a perverse man. If anyone's heart is hardened today against the word of God, against the word of salvation, if anyone is hardened today against the word of repentance, the word of redemption, is because of the condition of the heart. It's not the face, it's not his tribe, it's not his education or lack of education, it's the perverseness of the heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, I'm looking at verse 6. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts? You are responsible. You harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them. He wrought wonderfully among them. You would have thought that is enough. We'll never do that again. We'll never oppress the Israelites again, because it's a path that has no progress. It's a plot, it's a plan that man cannot perform. There is a covenant that God had made with Abraham that your descendants will be in a strange land, and at the right time, I, Almighty, Almighty God, I'll bring them out. And that had been decided in heaven. Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. And any Pharaoh that is born out of time, any Pharaoh that is born at the wrong side of his time, rising up and wanting to stop the covenant of God with Abraham and his descendants. He has failed before he even started the plan or the plot. But it was because of their perverseness, they still went on. Hardness of heart brings damnation, judgment. Romans chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds? In verse 8, it says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. We're looking at number 2 here. Number 2 is the passion and pursuit of hell-bent hunters. Hell-bent hunters. They have decided this is what they were going to do. They will hunt down. They will hunt back the children of Israel. And they were hell-bent about that. Look at Lamentation chapter 4. I read from verse 18. They haunt our steps that we cannot go in our streets. Our end is near. Our days are fulfilled, for our end is come. As those children of Israel encamped before the Red Sea, they saw the children of the people of Egypt coming. And he said, look at these people. They're still hunting us. And they're hell-bent to make sure that they get us back to Egypt. And actually they began to cry, saying, why have you done this to us, Moses? Bring us out. Isn't this what we told you? Look at these speedy hunters now that want to hunt us down. Ezekiel chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 20. Wherefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there haunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your hands, from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye haunt to make them fly. You see, even after there are people by whatever means, and now Ezekiel called this through their handkerchiefs, that they haunt after the souls of men. The Egyptians did it through their chariots, hunting after the Israelites. Other people do it through immorality. They do it through fornication. They do it through overtures. And they do it through fleshly means. They want to hunt down the souls of men. It says in verse 21, verse 21, your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 22. In verse 22, because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad. Other people do it with lies to make the hearts of the people sad, discouraged, distressed, depressed. Now, he is going that way, and he calls that way freedom. The Lord has set me free. Will hunt him down with lies and make the heart of the righteous sad, and make the mind of the righteous distressed. They're trying to hunt down the righteous. And then it goes on to say, which I have not made sad, and strengthen the hands of the wicked, that they should not return from his wicked way, and by promising him life. The people who have come back into the bondage of sin, who have come back into the bondage of backsliding, they encourage them so that they remain in that bondage. They're wicked, and they encourage their wickedness. Micah chapter 7. In Micah chapter 7, we're looking at verse 2. The good man is perished out of the earth. They've hunted the good man and the righteous men so bad, some of them ran away. Some of them stopped being righteous. Some of them said, it doesn't pay to say that you are a defender of the faith. It doesn't pay to say you are a defender of righteousness. Therefore, pipe down, slow down, stop talking. And so, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. They have a net by which they hunt men, and they run after them. They are bold, they are courageous, you are tough-minded, you are consecrated, and you are for holiness and righteousness, will hunt you down with our net. They are their nets those days. The people of today have their net and their network. In verse 3, verse 3 says that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. These are the people hunting down the righteous, and they do evil earnestly, and they do evil with both hands. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap each up. Look at number 3. Number 3, the purpose and partnership of hateful helpers. Why did all these Egyptians, chariot men, why did they follow after the king, Pharaoh, to help him? Well, they had a purpose, bring those people back. Cheap labor, bring them back. Obedient slaves, servants, bring them back. We thought we broke their backbone, but they are now standing. Bring them back. They'll be servants for us forever. That's the purpose and what partnership they had. But Proverbs chapter 16, reading from verse 5, reminds us, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. If that is so, Pharaoh was an abomination unto the Lord. All those helpers of Pharaoh, they were abominations to the Lord. And all the Pharaohs of today that would rather make the righteous crumble and crush the righteous under the feet of their chariots, their abomination unto the Lord. Yet we understand, though hand join in hand, it shall not be unpunished. That means he shall be punished. The helpers of the hunters, the helpers of the wicked, the helpers of the haters, and the helpers of the people that like to bring the people of God, the church of God, under bondage, the helpers will be punished. Second Chronicles chapter 19, verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, the prophet, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Should you help the ungodly who wants to bring the people of God under bondage? Should you help them? Should they go through you? And should you offer any assistance to them to help the one that hates God and hates the people of God? Therefore, is wrath upon thee, the helper, from before the Lord. Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to a hardened heart, gave them over to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 32. In verse 32, knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things, commit such things, are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Those who have pleasure in unrighteousness, and they have pleasure in the unrighteous, they have pleasure in those who are doing wickedly, and they say, you're doing, you want to bring company, you want to bring that nation, Israel, you want to bring it down, we'll join you, we'll help you in any way we can. You want to destroy the church that is built on the rock of ages that Jesus said he was building, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's your ambition, that's your passion, That's your desire, will help you. All those people that have pleasure in those that do evil, the judgment of God will be upon them too. Point number two. Point number two, the fearfulness of people in their complaint, in their cowardice. They were cowardly. And because of that, when they saw those Egyptian chariots coming, they were afraid. Exodus chapter 14, reading from verse 10. It says in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the inexcusable fear of people saved by the Almighty. Number two, the incomparable faith of the prophet sent by the Almighty. Number three, the infinite faithfulness and power shown by the Almighty. Number one is the inexcusable fear of people saved by the Almighty. The fear of the children of Israel at this time was unreasonable, inexcusable. Why? When the Lord called Moses, he said, come, I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I'm sending you forth to bring them out and bring them into the land that flows with milk and honey. He was to bring them to the land that flows with milk and honey. The first part had been fulfilled. He had brought them out. The second part is what they should be looking for, to bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey. Their fear was inexcusable. Not only that, look at the mighty hand of the Lord and the high hand of the Lord that brought them out of the land of Egypt. Look at the great, great miracles. And look at the last one, the firstborn of man and beast in every home, every house, died among the Egyptians. And the God who could do that, who had saved them by his mighty hand, they had nothing to fear. Their fear was inexcusable. Isaiah chapter 51, I'm reading from verse 12. Isaiah 51 verse 12. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, that shall die, or the son of man which shall be made as grass? Israel at the Red Sea, were you so much afraid of a man, of his chariots, in the accounts of God, that shall drown and die in the Red Sea? Are you so much afraid? They're not pursuing after you. Ultimately, they're pursuing after their death. And this is not going to be the end. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. They'll die and drown at the Red Sea, and yet they'll meet the Almighty God at the great white throne judgment. That whosoever was not written in the book of life will be cast into hell, and they'll suffer forever and ever. In Psalm 106, reading from verse 7, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but they provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea, because they forgot the mighty power of God. That's what they cried. That's why they were fearful. Number two, the incomparable face of the prophet sent by the Almighty. Here we find Moses, wonderful. If you're a leader, that you don't allow the fear of the people to pull you down, the cowardice of the people to pull you down, the complaints of the people to pull you down to their level. That's the tendency of fear, that the people that surround you, they're fearful, and eventually, and they express their complaint, their cowardice, and that has the tendency of making you complain, making you cowardly, and making you to lose confidence and courage. But in the case of Moses, he retained his faith, not comparable to the fear of the people. In Exodus chapter 14, reading from verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Even though he saw the same Egyptians that Israel saw, but he had faith in God. For the Egyptians whom ye see, or ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. In verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. We're coming to number three here. Number three, the infinite faithfulness and power shown by the Almighty. We're looking at Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. Exodus 14, 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Forward, the Red Sea is before us. Go forward. Are we going to drown? Go forward. Look at all these hundreds of thousands of men, hundreds of thousands of women, hundreds of thousands of children. They don't know how to swim. Go forward. That's what the Lord said. He said that not because he knows what you can do or what you cannot do. He said that because he knew what he, the Almighty, will do. Go forward. Go forward. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod. The answer is in your hand. When you cry, when you shout, when you are telling the Lord, beseeching the throne of God, the answer is right there in your hand. And stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You missed it. Good amen.
Amen.
Verse 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hardened hearts of the Egyptians. They think they are wise. They think they are courageous. They think they are ambitious. They think whatever they want to do, they will do. Not even the God of heaven will stop them and allow them to do what they want to do. I will harden their stubborn hearts, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon the chariots and upon his horsemen. God, how are you going to do that? Don't ask. You say that is what you will do. God, I've never read anything like that before this time in history. He is beyond history. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He knows what to do. Do what he has told you to do. Stretch the rod. Stretch the rod. Verse 18. In verse 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. 19. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Verse 20. In verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to these, to the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all the night. The Lord has power, and he has the wisdom to save you from the hand of the Egyptians, and he will in Jesus' name. In Psalm 119, reading from verse 89. 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. This situation at the Red Sea was new to the children of Israel. It wasn't new to God. He knew that will happen, and he was prepared for that. And his way, his word, his will was already settled in heaven forever. Verse 90. In verse 90, thy faithfulness is unto all generations, of the generation of the children of Israel that came out of Egypt. The faithfulness of God was there. In our generation, in your generation, to protect you and preserve your life. The faithfulness of God will not fail in your life in Jesus' name. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. Luke chapter 1 verse 37, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Your deliverance, it will not be impossible. Your victory will not be impossible. With our God, everything he has ordained for you is possible in Jesus' name. Point number three now, the faithfulness of all pilgrims while crossing. You will cross over. Am I talking to somebody there? You will not perish at the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 14, reading from verse 21. Exodus 14, 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind, and all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Verse 22. In verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. There are three things we're considering here. Number one, miracles through the obedience of faith. Number two, miseries because of obstinacy in foolhardiness. Number three, marvels through the observance of the faithful. Number one, miracles through the obedience of faith. In Exodus chapter 14, reading from verse 16. Exodus 14, 16. But lift up thy hand, thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And Moses obeyed. Obedience of faith. Verse 21. In verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Moses did what God told him to do in obedience, and God did what only he could do. Moses could not divide the sea, but he could obey God by faith and stretch out the rod. And then when he had done the obedience of faith, then you have the operation by faith, the operation that God did perform and divided the Red Sea. Verse 22. In verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea. That's the obedience of faith. There wasn't any negative thinking. What if the wind will cease and then the water will collapse again. No. Obedience of faith on the side of Moses. Operation by faith on the side of God. Obedience of faith on the side of the children of Israel. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. Stretch the rod again. Stretching is the same act, but that same act performed opposite miracles. The first act of stretching the rod opened the way in the sea. The second act of stretching the rod, even though it's the same rod and the same stretching out, the same obedience of faith closed up the sea after the children of Israel had totally escaped. And we're told that in verse 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the children of Egypt, the Egyptians, fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Verse 28. In verse 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Why? Oh, because this is the same Pharaoh that told all the people of Egypt, any man child that is born by the children of Israel, get there, take them from the mothers, throw them into the sea. The midwives were told to do that. They wouldn't do that because they feared the Lord. But Pharaoh did not fear the Lord. And he commanded his people, the men, go in there, take their children, their male children, throw them into the sea. Here comes Pharaoh, a man. Here comes all the horsemen, men. Here comes all the chariots, men. And in the sea, they were drowned. It's the pitch they had dug that they fell into. It's what they had done. They were reaping. It's what they sowed. They were reaping. They had drowned many of the children who were boys. They had drowned them in the sea. And that was at the time when Moses was born. You remember? And when they couldn't hide him anymore, they kept him in a little maid, a little boat by the sea. And he was rescued. And he now became the instrument of God to drown Pharaoh and all those horsemen in the sea, in the Red Sea. Obedience of faith. Romans chapter 16, verse 26. In Romans chapter 16, 26, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. Look at number two. Number two, the miseries because of obstinacy in foolhardiness. The Egyptians and Pharaoh, they should have realized, isn't it enough, all the misery of the firstborn in Egypt dying from the house of Pharaoh in the palace, even to the house of every poor man, the firstborn died, Pharaoh, is that not enough? Husband, is that not enough? Why do you want to add to the misery by your obstinacy? We're told in Exodus chapter 14, reading from verse 23. In verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. 24. And it came to pass that in the morning which the Lord looked, in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily. The tires, the wheels were taken off by the mighty hand of the Lord, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee, it's too late. That there is a time you could have fled. There was a time when you could have honored the Lord and you could have said, we know the Lord is fighting for the children of Israel. Let us not pursue this lost battle. But now they said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them. Moses said, the Lord shall fight for you. And that prophecy was fulfilled right now, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Verse 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen, upon the men riding the horses. And so the judgment of God came upon them. Verse 27. In verse 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against him too late, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. 28. In verse 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Not remained, not so much as one of them. Psalm 107, verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression. Pharaoh, a fool in transgression, obstinacy. The chariot men, fools, because of their transgression, in the obstinacy. Fools, because of their transgression and because of the iniquities, are afflicted. In Zechariah chapter 7, reading from verse 12. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. Heart hardened, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts because of their foolhardiness, because of their obstinacy. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord upon them. Verse 13. In verse 13, therefore it is come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Number three now. In number three, the marvels through observance of the faithful. The faithful. That is, you think about Moses, faithful to the Lord. You think about the children of Israel that went through into the Red Sea, faithful unto the Lord. And the Lord wrought marvels because of that fullness of faith in their heart. Exodus chapter 14, verse 29. Exodus 14, 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Verse 31. In verse 31, and Israel saw that great work, that great wonder, that great marvel which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And as we believe the Lord, the word of God will be fulfilled in our lives in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 28, reading from verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And the Lord is saying this to the people that are saved by the Almighty. The Lord is saying this to the apostles and to the prophets that are sent by the Almighty. The Lord is saying this to the pilgrims. Were pilgrims and strangers on earth. Unto whom the Lord will show his power by the Almighty. All power is given unto me. As he sent you to Pharaoh, as he sent you to the Egyptians, as he sent you to the world, go preach the gospel. Remember, we are men and women saved by the Almighty. We're men and women sent by the Almighty. We're men and women that know the Lord with power shown through the Almighty. Pharaoh might be hard-hearted, foolhardy, but you know, Pharaoh is not thinking that he is foolhardy. He's thinking that Moses is the one that is foolhardy. Moses, I told you not to tell me that thing again. Let my people go. Don't say that again. You are hardy, Moses. You're stubborn, David and Moses. Don't say that again. And Moses came back with Aaron. Here comes Moses again. And Pharaoh said, this man is foolhardy. This man is stubborn. The man that is foolhardy is accusing the servant of God that the servant of God is foolhardy. And he said, look, Moses, don't come here again. If you come in your foolhardiness and you come to tell me again, let my people go. If you see my face again, you will die. Pharaoh, Moses is not foolhardy. You are the one that is foolhardy. The ministers of God are not foolhardy. Don't say that again. Don't preach repentance again. Don't reveal, expose us to the word of God again. If you say it again, doctrine, you're foolhardy. No, sir, we are not foolhardy. We're just obeying the Lord. He saved us and he sent us by the Almighty. If the foolhardy one, go back to them and tell them, all power in heaven and on earth belongs unto Christ. And it says in verse 19, it says, go ye therefore. They'll accuse you of being stubborn. They'll accuse you preaching the same thing again, the Sanhedrin. Didn't you tell you that you should not preach in this name anymore? You're foolhardy, you're stubborn, you're hard-hearted. Don't say that again. You fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. They will tell you not to say that again, not to preach that again. But Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. You missed your amen. God, what was Moses all through, was for the children of Israel all through. Never mind, the Red Sea was before them, God was with them. Never mind, the Egyptian chariots were behind them, running, galloping after them. But the Lord was with them. Never mind, the rod is still in the hand of Moses. When he stretches it out, your sea will part. And all the hindrances before you, they will part in Jesus' name. And lo, I am with you. How often? Always, even unto the end of the world. Unto the end of the world. unto the end of your world. The Lord is with you. Go tell them the Lord is with you. Go preach the gospel. The Lord is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what Pharaoh and his horsemen and his chariots will do unto me. The Lord will help you. The Lord will open the way before you. The Lord will open the door before you. And what door God has opened, no man will be able to shut it in Jesus' name. Oh, but that door is being shut. That door is being shut. That's because Christ has not opened it. And we don't have any regret, and we don't have any remorse. We're not sorrowful. Any door that is closed is because God has not opened it. It's not because a Pharaoh, it's not because a chariot man, it's not because an unbelieving Egyptian, it's not because a backsliding mixed multitude is closing any door. Whatever door closes, bye-bye. It's because the Lord has not opened it, has set an open door before you. And no man shall be able to shut it in Jesus' name. Because upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, against you, against us, in Jesus' name. Now rise up and go through the sea. Your sea is divided already. Go through. We are on our way to the promised land. Every sea will open before you. We are on our way to glory land. And every door will open before you. If there's any door that is closed, just leave that. Because that's a door God does not want to open. Any door that God opens cannot be shut by anyone, not even the Red Sea. Rise up, talk to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, here am I. I believe you. Here am I. I will run for you. Here am I. I will not allow the hardness of Pharaoh's heart to stop me. I will not allow the hardness of the Egyptian horsemen, Egyptian chariots, to stop me. Let nothing stop you. Open your mouth, talk to the Lord in prayer. He delivers you from bondage, from the Egyptian bondage. The blood of Jesus, his only begotten Son, is the one that opens the way for your liberation, for your freedom. Because if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Sets you free from the darkness of the bondage of sin. It sets you free. Sets you free from the captivity of the Egyptian slave holder. It sets you free. Believe, and you are free. He died for you on the cross of Calvary, and he said, it is finished. Centuries, decades of Egyptian bondage finished. You are out. We are out. The tempter, in his stubbornness, a Pharaoh, like the Egyptians, may arise and say, they want to put in bondage who Christ has set free. They will be the loser, not you. Set me free. He set me free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of superficial men or women, and a superstition sets you free from the bondage of sickness, sets you free from the bondage of evil spirit. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Pharaoh may try again. Why did we let them go? Pharaoh is not you, it's God that set them free. Wherefore have we allowed these free cheap slaves to leave? We'll pursue after them. Don't do that. New age Pharaoh. Don't do that. Present day Pharaoh. Rebellion against God does not profit. Foolhardiness against Christ does not profit. Hardness of heart against the will of God does not profit. Perverseness brings perdition. Or hide the purpose of the proud man from him. Drop it. Don't carry arms against the Almighty. Chariot wheels are removed by the Almighty at the most dangerous time. The sea in the which Pharaoh drowned those young baby boys will also drown Pharaoh and the chariots, the horsemen. Repent. Bow before the Lord. Fighting against God, don't think God will arms down. God will put his hands at his back, because a powerful Pharaoh is fighting. No, he'll stretch forth his rod. He'll stretch forth his arm against the threats of Pharaoh and the threats of horsemen. It's foolish to fight against God. It's foolhardy to fight against God. Brings death. Physical death, spiritual death, second death, eternal judgment. And child of God, why are you afraid? Fearfulness, because you are cowardly. Fearfulness, because you complain. Why hast thou brought us here to die? Is there no grave in Egypt? Look, here is what we told you. Let us remain the bondmen and the slaves of the Egyptians. Look at it now. You don't have right to be fearful. Fear not man. What man can do unto you? Consider his power. Consider all his wonders that he showed already in the land of Egypt. He doeth wonders without number. His God, he changes not. If he was powerful to do wonders in the land of Egypt, he's still powerful to do wonders at the Red Sea. No reason to be afraid. I tell you, friends, fear not. What men can do. But fear God, who has power to drown and kill at the Red Sea. Fear God, who has power to drown the rebellious, foolhardy men and women in the Red Sea, and then judge them after death. Fear him. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And not one of them falls to the ground without the knowledge of your heavenly Father. And behold, All the hairs of your head are numbered, and none falls to the ground without his consent, without his knowledge, without his approval. He'll protect you. He'll preserve you. No fear, just faith. Faith in him. He will do all he has said. He fulfill his promise. Fear of man leads to backsliding. Fear of man leads to cowardliness. Fear of man leads to fretfulness, worry, anxiety. Fear of man leads to disobedience. Fear not. Fear of man leads to the loss of heaven. You fear them. You disobey God. You dishonor God. You throw away holiness. And they say, don't say that again. Don't preach that again. That breaks the backbone of the backslider. Do what the Lord has told you to do. Say what the Lord has told you to stay. Preach what the Lord has told you to preach. Teach what the Lord has commanded you to teach. When you were close, open doors for me, let them. If God allows them to close any door, let it be. Don't pursue open doors at the expense of your own soul. Stand. Don't follow personal ambition. If they can quash that ambition, let it be. That ambition is not of God. If they can't stop it, Moses did not sway. He did not collapse by the side of the Egyptian chariots. He stood. You can stand. Have faith in God. Let the Lord do what he has promised to do. He will fight for his own people. You don't have power to fight Pharaoh. He'll fight Pharaoh for you. You don't have power to fight the horsemen and the chariots. He'll fight them for you. He sent you, and he has not forgotten that he sent you. He led you by the way you are going, and that way goes through the Red Sea. He has not forgotten that he is the one that led you through that way. Be faithful until the end, until the end, and he'll grant you the victory and the triumph. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, thank you for reminding us that you are God and you change not. Lord Jesus, we thank you for sending your Spirit, reminding us that Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and the one who has saved us and sent us, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for reminding us that you'll never leave us and you will never forsake us. Reminding us that you are forever our helper. We're sorry, Lord, we ever complained. We're sorry, Lord, we ever acted cowardly. We're sorry, Lord, we ever exalted the Egyptian chariots, horsemen, and even Pharaoh above your strength and power. We repent of our fear. We repent of our cowardliness. Lord, we pray you grant us the confidence and the courage of faith to move on. And we know we are overcomers and we're more than conquerors in Jesus' name. Every chariot, every horseman before your children, the people of God, threatening them, making them to feel that now death is near. Crush those horsemen. Crush those chariots. Take your people through the Red Sea in Jesus' name. Plant you have not planted in our life. Every hurdle you have not placed before us. All those plants, all those hurdles, uproot them in Jesus' name. Make every child of God, every man, every woman in the Israel of God, every child in the church of God, make everyone more than conquerors in Jesus' name. Open the Red Sea before everyone. Keep the Red Sea open until every one of us will pass through in Jesus' name. Your door to victory remains open. Your door to the promised land remains open. Your door to the songs of triumph remains open. And no man, no chariot, and no horseman, no Pharaoh, no Egyptian will be able to shut the open door before you in Jesus' name. Their sickness will not terminate your life. Their messengers will not terminate your life. Their persecution will not terminate your life. Arise. Go forward. The Lord is before you. Go forward. The chariots are powerless. Go forward. The powers of darkness will be drowned. The powers of darkness will totally be defeated. For you. For you. For your family. Go forward. I'm going forward. We're going forward. We'll meet on the other side of the sea. And none of us will drown with the Egyptians. In the promised land, the land that is ringed with milk and honey, that the Lord has promised you, promised me, promise us, we will be there. Brother, you will be there. Sister, you will be there. Child of God, we will be there in Jesus' name. The Lord is going with you. He's going before you. It's on your right, it's on your left, and behind you. Is over you and above you and underneath you are the everlasting arms. Confirm your promise, your power, the prophecy upon every one of us and upon the church of the living God. Thank you, Lord, because we know it is done. In Jesus' name we pray.